put together.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7, the Fox State College.
And we are off and running on a wonderfully, wildly, wacky Wednesday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Another absolutely gorgeous, pristine morning out in the Valley of Happiness.
I was going to say you forgot wet.
We cut it close. I'm not going to lie. We cut it close last night.
What does that mean?
7:55.
Okay.
Is when we entered our voting place.
Oh, you waited that long.
We got our votes in for the two judge races that were contested on the Republican side and for the State College School Board. Those were the only contested issues on our side. We cut it close, got there after attending another wonderful event with the Cub Scouts Advancement Ceremony for PAC 67 held last night over at Millbrook Marsh. A good time was had by all. It is amazing. I know we talk, and old people especially, we talk about how quick time flies. Oh, man, time flies. Honest to Pete, though, like, the dear Mad Turtle, I mean, we were all excited. It's like, yeah, he's going to join Scouts. This will be fun. And now he's already an arrow of light. We're not even a den, per se, anymore. And then this is kind of the transition year, and then it's on to the Scouting of America now that he will officially begin next year. But, man, it did kind of feel like it went by in snap of a finger. But,
amazing.
Great time, and good job by all involved putting the program together last night, and we are onward and upward.
All right, cool. Do they still have Weebelows?
That's what
you were doing.
That's the past year was a Weeblow year.
Okay, because I was a Boy Scout once upon a time. I raised two daughters, and back then it was Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. All right, there's none of the Scouting of America stuff. So I haven't had contact with, like, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts for decades. And I'm trying to, as you're talking, remember the terms. All right, Cub Scouts, Weebelows, what's the next one?
Arrows of Light.
Arrows of Light.
Arrow of Light for the next year, and then it's on to Scouting.
Then it's on to Tenderfoot, right? He's going to be a Tenderfoot. I never got past Tenderfoot. I got involved with other stuff and decided, all right, I'm done with this. I'm going to go do this over here. So it's good to know that some things are the same, some of the same terms and stuff like that. Eagle Scout, are you kidding? I didn't get within sniffing distance of Eagle Scout, not even close. All right, we've got a busy show coming up at 9 o'clock. State Senator Wayne Langerholt is going to join us in studio. Plenty of things to talk about with the senator, either statewide or maybe a bit closer to home, things like Rockview Prison or Penn State campuses or other various things there. So we haven't had the senator on for a while, so he's going to join us in studio at about 9 o'clock. In the meantime, we'll have some sports coverage later on. Did all those games get in yesterday? I mean, yesterday's weather was really nice. All those local games get in, I'm assuming? They had to reschedule and stuff like that? Yes?
Well, yeah.
Okay, just making sure. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah,
we didn't have any weather yesterday.
Well, okay, yeah, I know that. I did 4 hours of lawn mowing and sweeping and
well,
so
what would
on.
You think would cause
well, they
the
had
games
to, move,
to not be
they
played.
Had to move games up, you know, and all that sort of stuff. I'm thinking, okay, they got them all in before this shows up.
Right.
Outside the window. We'll have, okay, he'll have that later. There we go. Anyway, he's giving me funny looks.
Well, I'm just not sure what
they what got them all was. In because they had to reschedule and so on. In the meantime, we've got some open line time. If you want to chime in, you can. 814-954-7266. Yes, the election, well, the primary election is in the books.
Yep.
Hopefully you went and either did it yesterday. 5 minutes, huh? 5 minutes before the end. That's pretty, I've never tried that before. Or you did the mail-in ballot or, you know, all that sort of thing. Results, I mean, there's tons of results. Yes, if you did go to vote, this might have been all of us. If you went to vote, there were a number of races where one person was running. Gee, who do I choose?
Or nobody.
Or nobody was running. And, I want to see what happens here. This is over in Phillipsburg, Phillipsburg Osceola School Board. They had two seats that somebody has to fill that nobody was running for school board seats. All right. Now, for instance, there's an auditor. All right. If you want to be a township auditor, I mean, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. It just isn't. And I was going through results again last night and I'm looking at all these auditor positions. It's like nobody, 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 nobody wants to run for auditor. Okay. Somebody has to end up doing it, however that gets determined. School board races, a lot of those, of course, most, not everybody, but most people were cross-filed. So their name was on a Republican ballot, but their name was on a Democrat ballot. Some of the people, I mean, depending on your school district and so on, I guess there were a handful of people that kind of nailed it, if you will, on both ballots. Most folks, it kind of went up and down, Republican, Democrat, and so on. So now compile the votes, figure out who the finalists are, and then come November, we have the big election to determine who the real winners are going to be. Now, just a thought, all right, even if you're a winner yesterday or your favorite candidate was a winner yesterday, great. You might say, well, that yard sign out there is still good. Person's still running. Okay, maybe go find it. Pull it out of the ground. Put it in your garage. Save it till August or September. And then put it back in the ground again. All right? Just a thought from your friend Scott. Because sometimes those yard signs kind of get lost in the shuffle. And if they're on a lawn area, somebody wants to mow over them. And they end up looking beat up. Just take them out of the ground, put them in your basement, wait till August or September, put them back up. Just a thought. All right? Beautify the neighborhood by getting rid of yard signs, please. All right? And, of course, if your candidate lost, okay, get them out. I'm still seeing some from the Penn State Board of Trustees election a couple of weeks ago. There's still some yard signs out there like, okay, that's over. Can we get rid of those things? Speaking of the Board of Trustees, now again, tomorrow's going to be a big day. The Board of Trustees, again, is doing this live public online meeting tomorrow.
That's right.
5 o'clock, 5 p.m. I think you could probably go to the Penn State main website, find the link if you want to watch this thing. And again, I'm fairly certain that's what you're going to be doing. You're just going to be watching. You won't be able to turn your camera on. Maybe they'll have a chat window. I can't imagine they would, but maybe, okay. The announcement yesterday, the Penn State president, Dr. Neely Bendapudi, is going to do her own, like an online address after the Board of Trustees meeting tomorrow. So her thing would be in the evening. Now, we don't have a time because I haven't seen anything about a definitive time for the Board of Trustees session. Is it going to be an hour? Is it going to be a half an hour? Is it going to be 10 minutes? I have no idea. But the one story I saw said that Dr. Bendipudi's address is supposed to be an hour after the Board of Trustees wraps up their stuff tomorrow. Okay, we know they start at 5 o'clock. What happens after that timing? No clue. All right. Obviously, a lot of people are interested in this. They want to hear what folks have to say. I don't know if the trustees are going to make, like, definitive decisions tomorrow. I don't think. I think this is just a public meeting because people have been calling for a public meeting. They had their private meeting last week. Now they're going to have the public one tomorrow. And then an hour after they're done, Dr. Bendipudi apparently is going to have some type of an online address about the Commonwealth campus situation and so on. So there you go. All right. That'll be tomorrow's big event. So again, without calling it up, I think go to the main Penn State website. Somewhere on there, there's got to be a link, or do a search for Board of Trustees or something. Find the link for tomorrow. Watch it. Check it out. We'll be here on Friday. I'm sure we'll be talking about it. We'll see how that goes. All right. What else do we have here? Well, are you happy about this one? All right. The FDA, Food and Drug Administration, made an announcement yesterday, which when I saw it, I just thought, okay, good. All right, good. The announcement was, all right, for 4 years, we've been getting these COVID shots, or at least most people have. Not everybody. Most people have been getting COVID shots. And it hasn't even really, doesn't matter what your age is. They've been pushing, hey, get a booster, hey, get a booster, hey, get a booster. How many times have we heard that? Hey, get a booster. Like every 6 months, hey, get a booster. Okay, I'm starting to feel like a pincushion here a little bit. And they've been pushing that and pushing that and pushing that. FDA announced yesterday, you know what? For folks under the age of 65, you really don't need to keep getting boosters. You just don't. And I just saw that and I'm like, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, so for instance, little kids, all right, what, as young as 6 months maybe? I can't remember. They've been pushing booster, 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 even though the statistics for 5 years have clearly shown that for whatever reason, kids, I mean, it's not they're bulletproof or anything, but kids just, if they got COVID, it was like they got the sniffles and that's pretty much it. All right? Didn't affect young kids or kids nearly as much as it affected some adults, especially older adults or adults that had some kind of a health condition. All right? Now, for those folks, all right, if you're over 65 or if you have some health condition where you really should get a COVID shot or booster, the rules are the same. But for everybody else, essentially under 65, it's like, maybe just talk to your doctor and ask. I mean, that's what I did. All right, Scott here. I had COVID back in, when was it? Late July. All right, and I think it won. I was on vacation the one time. That was really annoying. I think I've had this thing 3 times in 5 years or 4 years, okay? And I had it last July. And, you know, it was minor. You know, it wasn't a big deal. And actually, I could have returned to work after like a couple of days. But, of course, you're supposed to, you know, socially distance and all that other stuff. Okay, fine. So I gave it like a week. And then I went to see my doctor, for a checkup, last fall. And I said to my doctor, I said, do I really need to get this booster thing? I mean, I just had this in July. And he's like, you don't need it. You're fine. All right. You don't need it. You can get it if you want, but it won't really do anything. Just skip it. Meanwhile, I'm getting the official stuff, booster, 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 mm-hmm. right? Which we all have seen for months and years now. Well, as of yesterday, I would say one man's opinion, sanity is now reigning, that we don't need to overdo this stuff. There we go. All right. So if you missed that, you can do a web search for just thank you. All right. It's just this booster. Like, we don't even do that for the flu. Not nearly as much. Booster. Ugh. Anyway, so thankfully, I'm happy about that one. All right. Now, here's something. All right. This is actually funny considering it's today. I came across this yesterday. Top-rated sunscreens. All right, I don't think we need sunscreens today. Are we in agreement? I don't think we need sunscreen today.
I think you would be right.
I think at least here. Now, some other parts of the country, okay, fine. I came across the story, top-rated recreational sunscreens. Like, okay, that's interesting. Do you realize how many sunscreens are on the market? It's unbelievable. We're talking hundreds of different varieties of sunscreens. Hundreds of them. Now, if you go to, all right, we'll say Walmart. Go to Walmart. You go to that, you know, part of the store and so on. Yeah, they have a lot of different kinds of sunscreens. Not nearly all of them. I'm reading through this story yesterday, and I'm like, holy fright. I had no idea that were. I'm looking at the list. This is on a website from EWG.org, which is a group, I guess, that follows this stuff, okay? And they have their recommendations on what the best sunscreens are. You know, for instance, did you know there's two kinds of sunscreens? There's a chemically based sunscreen, and there's a mineral based sunscreen. Did you even know that? There are two different kinds of sunscreens. I'll be honest, I didn't. All right, just like, okay, this one, all right, slap it on, here we go. And then, you know, if it's the chemical-based one, okay, what chemicals are in there? Well, some of them are not so nice. You should avoid those, and so on. They've been trying to phase them out. So I've got this list here of the... click on a brand to see the, you know, more information. And it's unbelievable. This is in alphabetical order, and the list of sunscreen producers is just off the charts. I mean, I could not believe how many there are on here. There's the ones that you probably recognize. So, for instance, I read this story yesterday, and I thought, I can't even remember what my brand is. So I went, I found the container, and it's Copper Tone. Copper Tone, very famous, widespread sunscreen producer, okay? And Copper Tone, according to this organization, has five different versions that are recommended for use. Like, yay! Okay, is mine on here? Sure enough, there it was. I'm like, whoo, okay. Because apparently, you know, sunscreens sometimes with certain chemicals in them might not necessarily be the best thing to use. All right? Or how effective are they? What's it? UVA and UVB. It should be, protecting from both of those things. And so like, oh my gosh, this is complicated. But then there's all these other ones from companies I've never, ever, ever heard of. Here we go. Here's one from a company called Fresh Monster. Now, would you get a sunscreen from a company called... I'm not trying to knock Fresh Monster, but it's like, what the heck is that? Fresh Monster.
As long as it's fresh, absolutely.
Oh, here's one from a company called Green Goo. Green Goo. I'm going to assume that it's green. Green sunscreen?
And possibly gooey.
And gooey. Here's one called Happy Ocean. Okay, never heard of them. Here's one called Hello Bello. Okay, Hello Bello. Never heard of them. Now here's one you would like. Here's one called Land Shark.
Now we're getting
there. We go. There's one from Land Shark, which is recommended. Land Shark Reed Safe Zinky Nose Coat Sunscreen.
Oh yeah. That's like, the good stuff.
Like, what? What the heck is that? Never, what? Are you serious? Here's one called Mad Hippie. You want to get the Mad Hippie sunscreen. here's one called Naked Sundays.
Hey now.
Naked Sundays. What's that one called? Naked Sundays Clear Glow Sunstick. Okay. This is recommended by this organization. All right. There we go. Let's see. Here's one called One Love Body Soul. Okay. Here, this, you'd like this one. Poofy Organics. There we go. You can do the frou-frou poofy drink and the poofy organic sunscreen. Very, very nice. Here's one. What was it called? S4. I have no idea what that means. Come on, give me another good one. Sun Bum. All right, you get the Sun Bum sunscreen. They actually have four that are recommended. So, Sun Bum. Super Goop. All right, you want to get some Super Goop sunscreen. Yes.
Don't want to do the regular goop.
Only the super goop. That's right. Here's one called Two Peas Organics.
Two
peas. Two peas. P-E-A-S. Maybe they make it out of two peas. I have no idea. And then there's, here's one called Wash with Water. I have no idea. That's a sunscreen. Wash with Water. So there, it's unbelievable the list of sunscreens apparently that are available out there. But you're supposed to watch out. You know, some sunscreens are better than others. SPF 50 or higher is supposed to be good. UVA, UVB, you want to block them both, you know, the sun rays and all this sort of stuff. Watch out for the chemical-based ones. There are some chemicals in some of these that allegedly are not good for you. All right? Folks, you can do the research yourself. Again, the website is EWG.org, and get ready to do a lot of reading because there's a lot of sunscreens on there. Holy mackerel. You won't need them today. Good news. Or probably tomorrow, or probably Friday, if the weather folks are accurate. All right? I'd say the only good news about the weather, and it's interesting, I assume we all follow weather in some way. You do it on an app, you watch it on television, you know, that sort of thing. A few days ago, if I added up my numbers right, allegedly, for the next 3 days, we're supposed to get over 2 inches of rain. I'm like, ugh, yuck. Checking this morning, they've kind of scaled that back a little bit. They scaled it back. All right, still going to have 3 days of, if you will, gloom, but apparently not as much rain as is originally predicted. Now, of course, the proof's in the pudding. So we'll see what, you know, deuce, if you have a rain gauge in your yard or something like that, see where it stands maybe Friday evening.
A little tapioca pudding, boy, that's at the spot right now.
Tapioca pudding, right there with your sunscreen. Oh. Or you could use tapioca pudding as sunscreen. Mm. Yeah, that might be a little sticky.
Had not heard
all right,
of that.
Don't do that. All right, let's take a break. When we're going to come back, we have all those sports results. We got them in yesterday, because we got nothing today. I don't think so. Open line time. Again, State Senator Wayne Langerholt going to join us in studio at 9 o'clock. Lots to talk over with him. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Hey, we'll come right back after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include Geisinger, Central Pennsylvania Institute of Science and Technology, East End Sales, Wise Market, Belfont Elks Lodge 1094, and Jerry Snyder's Concessions.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It is a Wednesday morning. We are smack dab in the middle of the week. And ladies and gentlemen, it's hump day. Hello.
Woo-hoo.
Oh boy, do our dogs know how to celebrate hump day.
Oh, whoa.
Wait, what? Folks, come on now. It's a family show.
Oh, come on.
This is the time of the morning where we normally take a check of sports. But today, this is the time in the morning where we're going to take a check of sports.
Good timing, yeah.
Yeah, we'll just go ahead and keep the normal schedule. Let's start with this. Rowan Walker hit a walk-off RBI single, and the State College baseball team defeats Mifflin County 7-6 in the District 6 6A championship game yesterday. Walker also got the victory in relief, going 2 1/3 innings, allowing 2 hits, and recording 3 strikeouts. Folks, you've got to feed the beast. And Rowan Walker was a beast and well-fed yesterday. The Center Hall Farm Store reminds you that you can feed the beast by stopping in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. You can feed the beast, whether your beast is a horse, cow, or pig, or a dog or cat, or chickens, or other birds. Folks, you can feed the beast at the Center Hall Farm Store. They have what you need to grow this spring as well. Stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall, or you can visit them on the web at centerhallfarmstore.com. Mifflin County, in that contest, put up 3 runs in the top of the first and then tied the game with a run in the top of the sixth. Finn Powers had a couple of RBI for State College. Sebastian Rhodes and Kellen Williams each added 2 hits for the Little Lions as, again, State High gets the big 7-6 win and takes the District 6 6A title. State College will now play Erie McDowell in the PIAA State Tournament play-in game next Tuesday. In the District 6 Quad A baseball title game, it was Belfont overwhelming Juniata for a 10-0 win in 5 innings. Belfont starter Zach Lehman was a beast. He allowed just 2 hits and recorded 8 strikeouts in the victory. Lehman and Evan Mattern each went 3-for-3 with 2 RBI as well. Peyton Vankus went 2-for-3 with an RBI and 2 runs scored. The Red Raiders advanced to the PIAA state playoffs and will face Obama Academy out of Pittsburgh. The location, date, and time of that game should be released later today. State College softball team held off Altoona 5-4 to capture the District 6 6A championship yesterday. Today, Addie Harfster was the beast in this one. Harfster got the victory, recording 9 strikeouts, including the biggest one, which came with 2 outs in the top of the 7th. Altoona with 2 runners on. The tying run at 3rd base, and Harfster says, we'll just go ahead and end this thing right here. And recorded her 9th strikeout right there of the game. And Harfster helped her own cause. Again, a beast. She led the State College offense with 3 RBI. Bit of a back-and-forth game there as Altoona got a home run from Kaya Sprankle to lead off the game. State High responded with 2 runs in the bottom of the 1st. Altoona then took the lead with 2 runs in the top of the 5th, only to see State College respond with 3 in the bottom of the 5th. Altoona then did score in the top of the 7th before leaving the 2 runners stranded, and State College again wins the game 5-4. State High will also now in softball face Erie McDowell in PIAA state tournament play-in action next Tuesday. In the District 6 Quad A softball championship game, Belfont gave up the 1st run of the game in the 1st inning, but got that run back in the 3rd, and then put up 5 runs in the 4th inning to defeat Juniata 6-1. Adrian Masolo was a beast yesterday. Masolo with 7 strikeouts and 5 innings of work. She was also 3-for-3 at the plate with a double and a run scored. Jaylee Lose had the big blast, a 3-run homer. She finished 2-for-3 in the contest. Taylor Brown also had 3 hits and a run scored, and Sloan Moore had a couple of hits and an RBI. The Lady Red Raiders advancing to the PIAA state tournament and will face Carrick in the sub-regional next week. The Penn State baseball team will open up pool play today in the Big Ten tournament in Omaha, Nebraska. Penn State junior outfielder Paxton Kling has been named first team All-Big Ten and is also on the Big Ten All-Defensive team. Redshirt sophomore designated hitter Jack Porter is a second team selection, while Cole Wagner, a graduate student with Penn State, is named the Nittany Lions Big Ten Sportsmanship Award winner. The Nittany Lions will face Washington this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Penn State is the 9 seed. Washington comes in as the 5 seed. The Nittany Lions will then face 4th-seeded USC tomorrow at 3. The winner of the pool play will advance to Saturday's semifinals. The Nittany Lions going into pool play are 31-22 on the season and finished the regular season with a 15-15 mark in Big Ten games. The Penn State men's lacrosse team continuing preparations for Saturday's NCAA semifinal matchup with top-ranked Cornell. That game will be played at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts at 12 noon. Tickets are on sale for that game. And if you can't get up there to Foxborough and you're out driving around, we will have the game for you right here, live coverage on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Our coverage will start right at 12 noon on Saturday, and we will also have the national championship game on Monday. That contest will get underway at 1 o'clock in Foxborough on Monday, and our coverage of the national championship game will begin at 12:45. The other semifinal on Saturday will have Maryland and Syracuse squaring off at 2:30. Penn State women's soccer alum Carrie Abello has been named to the senior U.S. women's national team. It is the first time Abello has made the squad. She played for the Nittany Lions from 2017 through 2021, was part of three Big Ten championship teams and a couple of Big Ten tournament championship squads. She was a defender, played in 95 games at Penn State, had 17 goals and 12 assists from the back line. Ladies and gentlemen, an offensive explosion last night. Not just four, not just five, but six hits. You thought I was going to say runs, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
No, it's the Pittsburgh Pirates I'm talking about. Not runs. Six hits in a game.
Well, that's,
it's an explosion of offense.
That's good.
They got one run.
Oh.
But Bailey Falter was fantastic. He didn't falter. See what I did there?
Yeah, that's good.
He was sensational. And believe it or not, the one run held up. The Pirates actually won the game 1-0 over the Cincinnati Reds last night. Falter threw seven innings of shutout ball. And again, Pirates said, we'll give you a run. That's about what they give their elite starters. Thank you, Brian Reynolds, for the RBI. We do appreciate that. They're, you know, rare sightings in Pittsburgh these days. The series with the Reds is now even. They'll play what we like to call the rubber game of that series this afternoon, you know, weather permitting. Pirates, again, with six hits in one game.
That's amazing.
Yes. It's just, we are celebrating. There may be a parade later today, debating on that, I guess.
Parade.
Two teams will meet again, weather permitting. 12:35 is the scheduled start today. Airtime, 12:10, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, your home for lousy baseball. Wait, that's not...
Wait a minute.
No, your home for Pirates baseball.
Yeah,
you're supposed
go.
To be enthusiastic. Your home for Pirates baseball. Listen to all of the action, because, boy, they got action. Right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. I'll be listening. I'm a glutton for punishment. By the way, while we're on that, so let's just say the game goes off as scheduled, 12:35. Once the game ends, normally on Wednesdays we have Jim Galani's show with the Keystone Kickoff Show from 3 to 4. We'll do whatever is available there. So we will have his show, but again, if the game ends before 3 or at 3, the coverage ends there, which could happen, then there it is. You have the show in its entirety. Chance that we'll only have 1, 2, maybe 3 segments of that show before at 4 o'clock we join Jed Donahue and the Pennsylvania Sports Network. But regardless of what happens from 3 to 4 with Jim Galani's show, you will be able to hear that show in its entirety from 6 to 7. So we will have the Keystone Kickoff Show in its entirety. Again, you may get it in its entirety from 3 to 4. That's probably not likely. Probably get some of it. But we'll have the entire hour of Jim Galani from 6 to 7 tonight. And then we have a special little treat for you. Behind the Wall with Landon Tangwall. He did an interview over the weekend with Penn State hockey coach Guy Gadowski. We are going to have that interview for you this evening following Jim Galani's show. That'll be at 7 o'clock. So from 7 till about 7:30, we will have Landon Tangwall in his interview with Guy Gadowski, and then we're back to Fox Sports for the rest of the evening. And again, very excited also, Saturday, Penn State men's lacrosse against Cornell, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Philadelphia Phillies, meanwhile, beating the Hap out of the hapless Rockies last night, 7-4. Bryce Harper had a two-run double in the first. Philadelphia never looked back. Jesus Luzardo went six innings, giving up one earned run to get the victory. That series continues tonight at 8:40 in Denver, and the watch remains on will the Rockies get to double-digit victories before, well, we could say Memorial Day, or even by the end of May? Either one. They are still sitting on 8 victories here on the season. And the Phillies get 2 more opportunities to pile up victories here against the dreadful Colorado Rockies. And once again, on behalf of the entire Pittsburgh Pirates organization, thank you, Colorado, for assuring we won't be the worst team in Major League Baseball. We'll just be god-awful. But we got that going for us. Tickets, ladies and gentlemen, for the second annual State Farm Women's College Volleyball Showcase, which will be taking place during Labor Day weekend. Pirates will be about 39 games out of first place by Labor Day weekend, so you'll be ready to turn your attention to women's volleyball. The Women's College Volleyball Showcase will be at PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh. Tickets will go on sale today. You can get those tickets starting at 11 o'clock this morning. Penn State will play Arizona State on Sunday, August 31st, and will take on TCU on Monday, September 1st. Both of those matches are scheduled for 5 o'clock starts. Both Arizona State and TCU won first-round matches before falling in the second round of the NCAA tournament. This past season, Pitt advanced to the national semifinals and will also play TCU and Arizona State at PPG Paints Arena. Tickets start at $20 and will be sold as individual day passes and will be good for admission into both matches on either August 31st or September 1st. And from Onward State this morning, you know, there's a lot of hype surrounding this Penn State football team.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting more and more national attention, more and more folks saying, yeah, this could be a team that wins the national championship here in the upcoming season. The Nittany Lions have opened up now as 43.5 point favorites, according to DraftKings, over Nevada.
Oh, boy.
Now, this is a Nevada team that went 3-10 a year ago. We would not qualify Nevada as a juggernaut in the college football world. Penn State, their last win by more than 43 points came in week 3 last season against Kent State. That was the 56-0 victory over the school that is has educated my oldest nephew and is finishing up educating my youngest nephew.
Oh.
Not good for Kent's sake.
Good education.
We're going to go with that.
Yeah.
Penn State has been one of the best teams against the spread in recent years. So if you want to get your wallets out, I'm just letting you know the opportunity is there now. Penn State also 10.5, the win total set by DraftKings. 10.5 games. So what are you thinking? Over, under? It is tied for the highest win total. So no team starts the season from DraftKings with like 11 or higher. The 10.5 is the highest win total any team has on the books. Interestingly, the 3 teams with the 10.5 games as the over-under win total, all Big Ten schools.
Not a surprise.
You have Penn State, you have Oregon, and you have Ohio State.
And they play each other. That'll be interesting.
No team in the country, again, has anything higher than that 10.5 win total expected by DraftKings.
Actually, I don't know. Does Ohio State play Oregon this year? I don't have a schedule in front of me. I do not know. Penn State plays both of them All right. So I'd have to look to see. But I'm not surprised. I can't say I'm surprised by that.
I was shocked.
Really?
Stunned, now, flabbergasted.
Okay, hold on. What was that spread again? 43?
And a half. 43
and a half. And then the two games that follow that are Florida International and Villanova. What's going to be for those two games? Do they still
more than a touchdown?
Do they still do? We're not doing this game. Like, we're not even going to put a line on this game. Do they still do that?
Rarely, but yes.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
I'm looking at those games like, oh my gosh, like 100? it's going to be, ooh.
Ohio State and Oregon do not play each other.
Do not play each other. Oh, so Penn State's the lucky team. Okay. They get to play them both.
Ohio State opens up with Texas.
That'll be interesting.
That will be interesting.
And see, that's part of the complaint. Well, we play a real team.
Blah, blah, blah.
Okay, whatever. All right, a couple quick things. First off, on baseball, you got to stop complaining. Okay, you got to stop complaining.
I don't think I can.
All right, my Orioles lost again last night. That's 8 straight. The Orioles now have a worse record than your Pirates, so you have to stop complaining. Okay, your Pirates have 16 wins. My Orioles still only have 15 wins. I'm the one who should be complaining. Okay? I should be complaining. Let's have some fun now. Don't cheat. All right? We'll play Quiz the Ironhead, our favorite game.
Yeah.
What major league team has the best record right now?
That would be the Philadelphia Phillies.
Incorrect.
Oh, well, they'd had it as of going into. No, that is correct.
No, that's not correct. I said major league baseball, both leagues.
How did they have it going into yesterday and they don't now?
Well,
because they won last night.
What I'm looking at, yes, they won. They are 30-18, which is the best record in the National League, just barely over the Dodgers. But it is not the best overall record in the major leagues.
The goon has led me astray.
Yes, he has. Slap him tomorrow. Although, don't do that. He'll clobber you. Don't do that. You want to take a guess? The team with the best record in all of baseball. Major League Baseball.
Well, if it's not the Phillies, it's got to be either the Yankees or the Tigers. I don't know.
You want to pick one?
I think the Yankees just are this. I'll say Detroit because they.
The Detroit Tigers are 32-17. They're having a season. They're doing, especially at home this year, the Tigers are 17-5. Like, whoa, they're solid. They are really, really good. So, again, you can't complain anymore. My team actually has a worse record.
Oh, I most certainly can complain.
Now, we're just watching. Now, thankfully, we don't do this show in Denver. What could they be talking about in Denver? The Rockies are 8-40. Oof. I thought the White Sox last year were bad. And by the way, the White Sox just barely have the worst record in the American League, although the Orioles are about to eclipse them.
Well,
anyway. All right, let's take a break. All right, no more bad news. Okay, gloomy weather. Orioles can't win a game. They're supposed to be a playoff team. What a joke that was. Blah, blah, blah. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Again, State Senator Wayne Langerhoek's scheduled to join us here at top of the hour. We'll talk some more when we return right after this.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include
WTAJ, Five Star Power Sports, Snyder's Concessions, Krep Service and Sales, Courthouse Pub, and Fullington Trailways.
Senator John Fetterman raised concerns about aggressive vehicle mandates, and he's right. Pennsylvanians need affordable, reliable transportation. No one should tell us what we can and can't drive. Mandates could limit consumer choice, raise costs, and threaten Pennsylvania jobs. Senator Fetterman can protect working families and defend our economy. Tell Senator Fetterman to stand up for Pennsylvania. Repeal the gas car ban. Take action at EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Ready to relax in style? Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is giving you the chance to win a Watkins 735L hot tub by Hot Springs at this year's Bellefonte Cruise on June 13th and 14th. This six-person luxury spa is built for the ultimate backyard escape. Loaded with powerful jets for a full-body massage experience, LED mood lighting for the perfect ambience, energy-efficient technology that saves money while keeping the water warm, and the trusted quality of Hot Springs spas, the leader in comfort and innovation. Entering is easy. Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall now, or visit our booth at the Bellefonte Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to bring home this incredible Watkins 735L hot tub from Hot Springs. Check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit our Center Hall location to view our full lineup of Hot Springs spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our lineup of Imagine Pools and Ocean Reef fiberglass pools. Make a splash this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Bellefonte Cruise.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Dotter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Dotter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota compact tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox.
Fox Sports.
It is a Wednesday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. Phone line is open for this segment, a briefer segment at 814-954-7266. If you want to weigh in on just about any doggone thing you like.
All right, free plug alert of sorts. Memorial Day weekend, of course, this weekend. That means Bowlesburg. A lot of cool stuff happening there. Our friends from the Bowlesburg Fire Company doing their annual carnival. They sort of launched the summer. Supposed to start tomorrow. It might be a little wet tomorrow. Tomorrow through the weekend. So have fun at the Bowlesburg Carnival.
Heck yeah.
When you can find some time and the weather cooperates. So let's take a call.
Yeah, we say good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Morning, Jeff. Morning, Scott.
Howdy.
I had you beat last night, Jeff. I showed up to my polling place at about 7:57 after getting home from work and going to my daughter's softball game.
Yeah.
but only to walk in and be told I can't vote because I'm a I'm not affiliated with. Democrats or Republicans.
Yeah. So, we actually weren't the last ones either at our place. We had two people
My wife and I voted together, and then there was actually two people that came in right after us. So a late surge at the Ferguson Township polling place.
Right.
Yeah, it's... are you registered independent then?
I am, yes.
Yeah.
Because I see issues on
them. Yep. No, that's fair. This has gotten a lot of
either way.
Yeah, it's got a lot of attention. I wouldn't mind having independents vote in the primary. I just think it needs to be a separate. This is just my opinion. I do think Republicans should be selecting the Republican candidates. Democrats should be selecting the Democrat candidates. And I don't know why we can't just have independents say, well, this would be, like, have them on there and have a separate tally for independents. I don't know what the harm in that would be. I suppose there's probably a little extra cost and whatever with that. But
would the separate tally count?
It would give you an idea of where things stand right now with the independents. I mean, I don't know what you mean by count, but you
like
could certainly tally them. Well, yeah, you could officially tally them and say this is what the independents voted.
But, I mean, would it count in actually choosing the candidates?
Well, not for the Democrats or the Republicans,
okay.
Right. No.
But to some people, that's what they want.
I realize that.
We'll ask the senator that here when he comes in a little bit. Like, what do you think about this? But people are pushing this in Harrisburg. Apparently, most other states, they can do that, but not here. We're one of 10 where they can't do that.
Yeah. But you'd have to pick one or the other then.
Yes, you'd have to pick one or the other. Correct. Caller, would you...
defeats the purpose of being an independent.
I mean, caller, would you like that idea?
I would like that I could vote for the Democratic candidate or Republican candidate. Like and I know I can do that in November. But as far as the primary goes, I mean, there might be two Democrats on there, one I agree with, one I don't. And if I can't vote for them, like, why? What's the point?
Well, yeah, that's part of the argument here. So the primary is supposed to be each party chooses its candidates. Well, if you're not a member of the party, why should you have input on who the candidates are? But on the other side, it's like, well, they're being disenfranchised, and they should be able to vote, too. Okay, I see both sides, but the point of a primary is for parties to pick their people. If you're not part of the party, why are you picking the people? That's it. I don't get it. That's the whole purpose of a primary. So, anyway, anything else, caller?
No, you guys have a good day.
All right.
I enjoy the show.
Thank you. I appreciate the phone call.
Thank you. And so the debate continues. Now, again, when Senator Langerhulk joins us in a little bit, I'll ask him, all right, what do you think about this? Now, he's a Republican. And the party folks, apparently, in Harrisburg are not in favor of independents voting for their people in primaries, at least in our state. Now, again, there's what's the number, 30? There's only 10 states that have so-called closed primaries. We're one of them. New York is one of them. Actually, I had this, right? New York, New Jersey, I think Maryland. Interesting. A whole bunch of states, like right here where we are all closed. Most of the rest of the country is not closed. Independents, you walk in. Hey, I'm an independent. Okay. Do you want a Republican or Democrat ballot? I want that one. Okay. And they give it to you and you go vote. And, you know, the part of the argument is, hey, we're voters just like everybody else. We should have some choice in the spring primary. Okay. But then the other side of it is, well, what's to stop a whole giant pile of independent voters who get their dander up about something, let's say, and they go to the polling place, yeah, we want a Democrat ballot. Okay, and they go a Democrat ballot, and there's like one or two people like, we don't want them to win, so we're going to vote for other people. So in other words, non-Democrats would have a choice on who the Democrat candidates are going to be, and that still rubs some people the wrong way. And so then the debate continues. I see both sides, but a primary is supposed to be about parties picking candidates. If you're not a member of the party, why should you be able to pick? All right, you get your shot in November. Everybody gets their shot in November. Okay, cool. And back and forth and back and forth. Anyway. All right, we got a couple minutes here. 814-954-7266. Let me go back to one sportsy thing. All right. The NBA. All right. No offense. The Ironhead and I both have the same. Right?
Yeah, just not.
NBA.
Not my
I'm sorry. Just doesn't do it for me. All right. I'll hold that thought. We'll take the quick call because then we got to take a break here at the top. So.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, let's do something a little bit lighter than the politics deal today.
By all means.
Sure.
Okay, first of all, I want to tell you guys, I do enjoy your program in the morning.
Cool.
But Monday and Tuesday this week, it was kind of like the Orioles and the Pirates. It didn't play very well.
Oh, my friend, you overestimate us.
Yes, you do.
That was Rockies-like. Yeah. That was worse than the Pirates and the Orioles.
Yes.
That was Rockies.
Yes.
We had the transmitter went down. And they went out to repair it and repaired what they thought they needed to. And it's like, all right, that should take care of it. And it's like, nope, that didn't take care of it. And there was another piece, a fan in there that's a very specific type of fan. And without that, you can't really operate it. And that kind of, bit the big one. So we had to get another fan in. There's still some work that is being done, but we're up and serviceable here for this Wednesday morning.
So even the Rockies can win a game every now and
then. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay, I'm a fan, so you already have a fan. But I'm a fan of the Phillies. I'm a Phillies fan, so maybe if you put them on, you'd be able to be playing all the time.
Oh, and a winner. I am telling you.
There's a thought.
Oh, that was just a brutal weekend for me. The Phillies.
Have a great day, guys.
Yep, you too. It would be nice to have a Major League Baseball team in our city to go with that beautiful park.
Okay. Let me hold my NBA thing till later next hour because we want to stay on schedule. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Yeah, we got some political talk. Come on, you folks love that stuff. All right, we'll come back after this.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Bellefonte Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Bellefonte. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Daughter Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Bellefonte, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BellefonteCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, Five Star Mitsubishi, Wetzler Funeral Home, Sleep In and Comfort Suites, Carson Disposal, Best Line Power Sports, and WTAJ.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from Pamp.
What's the name of Yoon's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear, remember Pamp for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. Pamp has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your sports radio!
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The
It is our Wednesday edition of Let's Talk, and yes, back on the airwaves to go with the streaming here on this Wednesday morning. It's Let's Talk. We will have a little open phone time coming up at the end of this morning's big show.
Okay, we're going to talk about the sport of politics now. What a great sport that is. Okay, and we want to welcome back to our show local state Senator Wayne Langerholt. Senator, welcome back.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Thanks for coming.
It's a long walk from your office, which is like 20 steps over there, all right, in the same building. So we,
location, location, location.
Yeah, we planned that perfectly. I mean, I've got a whole boatload of questions here for you of all different, different stripes, but let me just start with kind of an open-ended, like a general question. What have you been, you know, sort of handling lately, top issues that are on the top of your list? As far as state stuff is concerned, let's start just with a general question. How's it been going?
Sure. It's been going good. Thanks for having me again. It's been a busy season so far. We're getting ready to roll in here now to the budget, which is probably the biggest thing that we deal with in the state legislature. We'll be there pretty much the whole month of June. The fiscal year is at July 1st, so we're trying to get a responsible budget crafted here. So that's kind of the main issue that we're focused on. But in addition to that, some other things that I've been dealing with, the two proposed prison closures, Rockview and Quihana, also in Clearfield County, the news of Penn State Dubois, which, depending on how you view there, the leak that was given to the Inquirer and things of that nature, and also the Clearfield Lock Haven campus proposed close. So it's Clearfield County's been hit pretty hard over the past couple months, so we're dealing with issues related to that.
All right, well, you just hit several things I had on my list, so how about that? Let me start with this one. We just had a caller in our last segment. Yesterday was primary election day, and the caller said, I'm an independent, and so he couldn't vote yesterday for anything, I guess. And we've had a guest on before about this push for independents being able to vote in the primary election here in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has a closed primary. They can't do that. What do you think on that? Should that be allowed? I mean, the majority of states out there have so-called open primaries. We don't. for whatever the reasons are. Let me toss it to you. I mean, yay, nay, what are the reasons? What do you think about that?
It's an interesting issue. It's an issue that kind of cuts down the middle as far as within the district where it's at exactly. I'm always cognizant there's a two-party system, and yes, that they may not be able to vote in the primary, but they could vote if they would, you know, sign up with a specific party. And I think that you have to be careful if you're, you know, permitting independents to vote that aren't a part of that party. And there's a two-party system. That we want our candidates to be elected by those people that are in the party. So it's an issue that has, I don't want to say gained a lot of traction, but it's out there. It's been discussed. It hasn't been really discussed at length. Obviously, I'm open to, you know, hearing the pros and cons from either side, but it's not something that's really been on the radar, you know, at the forefront with something that we're dealing with in the legislature.
I don't want to disenfranchise anybody, but I don't want non-Republicans voting for the Republican candidate or non-Democrats voting for the Democratic candidate. Could we have an independent and, you know, maybe throw in other third parties that, hey, you can come and vote and just have a separate tally, and if, I don't know how often it would happen, but if, you know, candidate X wins the Republican and candidate Y wins the Democratic nominations, and then somebody that was second on one of those ballots or even third, or, you know, wherever, is the choice of independents, then add a third candidate as this was the choice of independents or whatever. I feel like at the end of the day, we're going to end up with the same candidates regardless. And I say, I'm okay with them voting. I just don't want them voting for the candidates that, you know, I'm a Republican. I don't want independents choosing the candidate for my party. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's an issue that you've got to be very careful with, especially in light of the recent headlines and the recent news and just the general, I think, concern that a lot of people have in our election system. You know, some of the things that have happened over the year, I think that there's definitely going to be a lot of pause with respect to the appetite that you have to dealing with elections again. You see what happened whenever that was passed not too long ago, and then the Supreme Court's interpretation of things that weren't even in the law that we passed. You know, I'm talking specifically about drop boxes. There was nowhere in that legislation or that act that allowed for drop boxes, and it was pure judicial interpretation to allow that. So very hesitant to open it up for other election opportunities. It's something that we could talk about, something that could be put in, absolutely. But, again, it's very I don't think the timing is right for that, and I have concern with, you know, opening that up again.
Is that something that Harrisburg decides, or individual parties decide if independents can vote? How does that work, or how would that work?
That could be, you know, put into the bill. That could be put in the bill. It would be ultimately signing the law to kind of craft that how you wanted it to be.
All right. All right, Penn State campuses. Now, I don't have a map in front of me. So your zone, your district that you cover, okay? Like, for instance, you cover part of Center County. Then you cover other counties, all right? And you mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, you mentioned Penn State Dubois. Now, is that in your zone?
Yes. So I represent all of Cambria County, all of Clearfield County, and the western part of Center County. I don't have the university. I have everything west of State College Borough. So Penn State Dubois is in. Originally, when I was first elected in 2016, I had Bedford County, Cambria, and Clearfield, but not Dubois. So with the redistricting, I got Dubois. And actually, if you look at it numbers-wise, I could have just taken Dubois and had Clearfield, Cambria, and Bedford, and that would have fulfilled with the census. But the problem was there was such a loss of population in the western part of the state that the other senators had to move kind of east, and geographically, if you look at a map, Bedford, Cambridge, I'm kind of blocking everybody. So that was Bedford County, then went to my colleague, Senator Pat Stefano, and then I got this portion of western part of Center County.
Okay. So you've got one campus. You've got the Du Bois campus, all right? So this does kind of affect you. We got this big online stuff happening tomorrow. Board of Trustees is going to meet. President Ben DePuy is going to give an address online or something. What are your thoughts on this? You know, because Penn State Du Bois is on the hit list. What do you think?
It's a big concern for me. That is a integral part of the Du Bois area of Greater Clearfield County, and especially in light of decisions for the close of Clearfield Lock Haven campus, that leaves my constituents, the residents of Clearfield County, without institutions of higher ed. Now, I say that also with the caveat that the numbers are down drastically across the state, and that's not just for branch campuses. It's talking about higher education in general. And you saw that recently with the newer chancellor of the state system recognizing that, and you saw those different mergers of the state systems into kind of different geographic hubs to address that issue. But the bottom line is there are not more students, and it's only projected to decrease. So there needs to be, obviously, the hard conversations going forward, but also you need to recognize what that does to for the greater Du Bois region, and specifically some of the programs that they're working on, they have to help with the powder metal industry up there in that area and also in the northwest part. They fill that need. So that's a concern, is where are those students going to go, and how is that going to be addressed? Will there still be some type of a footprint, so to speak, with Penn State Du Bois, recognizing the need that they do fill on that? And then if that decision is made, how do we deal with that prospectively?
All right. Now, Penn State is a state-related university, not state-owned. That's, Lock Haven, Bloomsburg, so on. State-related. Does that mean that whenever this gets official, which I guess won't be tomorrow, whatever they're going to do online tomorrow, might be next week, next month, whatever, state-related, does the state somehow get involved with this? In state government somehow, like, wait a minute, Penn State, you can't do that, or something like that? Or does the state really have no involvement, even though they're a state-related university?
There is some oversight with the Department of Education. The Secretary of Ed has to sign off on this. Now, that can lead to, and I'm certain, not certain, but that may lead to some type of legal challenge. The code is pretty clear that the secretary has to sign off after that is presented to her. Right now it's acting secretary Carrie Rowe, who's up for confirmation here within the Senate. But what that means, can she stop that? I think it's more of a formality. There's a certain procedure and process that the universities have to follow and then present to the Department of Ed. And I think if those things are met, the boxes are checked, so to speak, then she ultimately, I don't think, has much discretion in that. But again, that's open interpretation.
So what do you think is going to happen here?
I'm an optimistic person. I am hopeful that there is still some footprint for Penn State Du Bois, but obviously I'm opposed to the closure of Penn State Du Bois.
What does that mean, footprint? I don't understand. What is that? What are you thinking about?
Still some type of involvement for certain programs. I don't know what the end game is. I don't know if it is going to be a complete exit? Is it going to be a partial exit? Is it going to be, are they going to stay in operation? So,
all right. All right. Now, you mentioned Rockview Prison and Quihana Boot Camp. Now, Senator Chris Dush just joined us, was that 2 weeks ago? I think it was. And he's fired up over this one, all right, for a number of things. And he's issued releases and he's taking actions. Now, granted, he has a leadership position in Harrisburg on the government committee or whatever that is. What are your thoughts? I mean, have you done anything when it comes to Rockview, Quihana? What's been your response here?
Yes, I have pretty openly opposed that and been involved from the initial announcement. And there's a lot of things. The way this transpired was not exactly transparent. And I can tell you that I was in a meeting. I was on a Monday before the announcement, and I got a call from one of the governor's action team indicating that that was the plan, that they were going to close that. Now, the only issue that I have with that is that I got the call about an hour or two after the news media had reported on it. So I would have appreciated some heads up, you know, even that we're looking at this, but I didn't get that. And since that, I've taken a lot of steps to be up there. Look, I've been at Quihanna. I've spoken at their graduation ceremony a couple of times. I've toured that facility. I've been there. I see the great work that they do in that facility. And I think it is absolutely nonsensical to propose a closure for a facility that we know is working. There's this big push in Harrisburg in light of some recent trends through justice reinvestment and different types of laws that were passed to help with inmates and with, you know, recidivism. And this should be the model for what a state correctional institution is. We know that the recidivism rates for Quihanna are the lowest in the state. We know that Quihanna, which is a smaller state institution, produces more GEDs than any other state institution. It actually produced, I think last year, upwards of 21-22% of all GEDs. We know that inmates coming out of Quihanna are getting vocational certificates that are then enabling them to go out into the workforce. And more than that, I invite anyone listening to this that is involved in the lobbying process, I've invited the governor, come and see what they're doing at the Quihanna boot camp. It is unlike anything you will see. The level of respect that the staff get, it is a military-type facility. I mean, they're there. It's not an easy program. They're up at the crack of dawn. They're doing PT. They're in the classroom, and it is working, and it is producing inmates. There were at the public hearing with the Department of Corrections, there was a former inmate that came. And I received, you know, countless emails and things on Facebook saying, look, I was an inmate. This saved my life. I am now working here. I have my own business. I'm a productive member of society. Why do we want to shut the door on that success? It makes absolutely no sense, and I will fight it every way I can. If you'll allow me a little more to talk about that, I've actually introduced some legislation to address that. So one thing that happened, the numbers for boot camp have dropped. Now, that can be attributed to the rise in the new program, the state drug treatment program. So what that is, and they're both in that facility. So that is a flat two-year sentence for state drug treatment program to allow individuals dealing with addiction to go through that program. And within 2 years, then they're done with the program. It's not all incarceration. There's like a little bit of a breakdown of, you know, some time within the institution, but then also some time in some outside facilities to help with the drug treatment. But what we were seeing was people were more apt to go into that program. Number one, it's a little bit easier. You're not up the crack of dawn. You're not doing that PT. You're not part of that boot camp facility. But also, when they're done with that program, they're done. And it would even, you know, forgive the balance of that sentence. Boot camp is not that way. So you go through that program, and then you still have the tail. So I'll put on my old prosecutor hat here. You know, if you're sentenced to, say, a term of incarceration of 2 to 5 years, 2 to 6 years, you know, anything over a two-year sentence, you're incarcerated in a state facility. The balance of that, you would still have to be on probation and be subject to supervision. It's not that way with state drug treatment. So the plan that I have is to modernize the boot camp to make it more of an incentive, because we want to get more people into that type of a program, and we need to tweak it a little bit to allow them the same kind of opportunities for the state drug treatment program so that they're coming out. Because the goal is we want productive members of society. We know boot camp's doing that, so we need to kind of rethink it, and it hasn't been looked at for many, many years. So that's my goal, is to help change that, bring the numbers back up with at the boot camp, and save the facility.
Yeah, I giving people a sense of purpose, which is what that boot camp clearly does, I just think is
we want to get people back as productive members of society, and the track record there speaks for itself. I think you were very kind in saying that they were not transparent. I think it went a step beyond not transparent with the Rock View, because I'm reading the initial story and I'm like, well, my gosh, if there's all these repairs and it's going to cost all of these millions of dollars, maybe this makes some sense. And then we have Senator Dasha, and he's like, no, those repairs have already been done. That isn't not being transparent. That is flat out, bald-faced lying to the public and to everybody about what is actually happening and what the actual state is. That is outrageous, isn't a strong enough term, but it is certainly outrageous at the very least.
Yeah, I agree. And there's so many more things at play here when you're talking about saving dollars. So the total operational budget for that facility, I think, is $34 million, of which $29 million is in salaries. So if you're coming out saying, we're going to guarantee every one of these employees is going to have a job, well, you're going to save $5 million. And then on top of that, at Quihana, there's also a wastewater treatment plant that services another business. There's actually a business. So what happens with that? And then when you're talking about mothballing costs, because you're going to have to keep that operational, you know, what those costs are, at the end of the day, the amount that you're saving is minimal. And it is a sore spot with me when you have that announcement coming out a couple weeks after the governor's budget address calling for a massive increase in spending. And on top of that, the governor has no problem just unilaterally taking dollars from our transportation projects in the other part of the state to give $260-some million to SEPTA with the stroke of a pen. So those are the things that keep me up at night and give me pause that this is not a cost-saving measure. You're exactly right. You know, I'm not even certain that the actual parts in that report were accurate. And that facility at Quihana just had an extension put on not too long ago. So there's stuff that really isn't going to be saved going forward.
All right, before we take a break, at one point it appeared the hammer was going to drop right around now about these two facilities. What's going to happen now? Or what's happening now?
They are still in the process of reviewing all of the testimony at the different public hearings that they had. They had two of them, one at Quihana, one at Rockview. And I can tell you that I have been actively involved in one form or another from the beginning, meeting with everyone and advocating on behalf of those facilities and just trying to get them to realize the importance of them.
Now, if the Department of Corrections keeps pushing, and they're like, yep, we're doing this, is there still a way to stop things, slow things? What happens after the DOC says, yep, we're doing it anyway? What happens then?
That can become part of even the negotiations that we have here going forward with this budget. So there's a couple different avenues that we're exploring to ensure that these facilities stay operational.
So this is a long way from over.
Let's hope.
Okay, all right. State Senator Wayne Langerholt is our guest. We're going to take a break. We've got some more questions for the senator of various kinds. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
The 36th annual historic Bellefonte Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Bellefonte, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BellefonteCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include Center Communications, Inc., Five Star Chrysler, Rick Snyder's Concessions, PAMP, Premier Garage, and Clearwater Pools.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The State College Spikes 2025 season is just around the corner. The 40-game regular season home slate runs Friday, June 6th through August 28th and features three great bobbleheads honoring Paul Posluszny, Katie Schumacher Colley, and Guy Gadowski. Three Bark in the Park nights, ELGSES night on August 23rd. Enjoy fun, affordable family entertainment here in Happy Valley. For tickets, call 814-272-1711 and buy and download at statecollegespikes.com.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dodder Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It is our Wednesday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Again, Pirates baseball rolling your way this afternoon at 12:10, the airtime, as they wrap up that series with the Reds. And again, we'll have a special program for you with Landon Tengwall behind the wall tonight at 7 o'clock, following Jim Galati's Keystone Kickoff Show, which will run from 6 to 7 in its entirety tonight, and then Landon with an interview with Guy Gadowski, head coach of the Penn State hockey program. That will run from 7 to 7:30 this evening. A little open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's show.
Again, we're joined by State Senator Wayne Langerholt for another segment this morning. Fun things in Washington, or not so fun things in Washington, and how it affects Pennsylvania. Senator, let me start with this one, right? Medicaid. Now, Medicaid gets tossed back to states. Allegedly, people in D.C. want to cut money to Medicaid, although President Trump apparently told Republicans down in Washington yesterday, don't mess with Medicaid. I assume you folks are discussing this in Harrisburg, like possible Medicaid changes and how it would affect things here. What are your views on that?
It's something that is very concerning, obviously, any kind of loss and potential funding, and that's something I hear about quite frequently. And on the state-related side of it as well, that's something that we're grappling with, the increased costs and the cost drivers with the budget with that. And actually one of the bigger drivers of that being the popularity of some of these weight loss drugs, which has really, really, really driven up that cost.
Yep.
So something that is going to be a top part of the budget negotiations as we go forward here in June.
So if they do this, let's do a what if, all right? D.C. covers Medicaid amounts and it goes back to the states. Is that just cuts, or does the state have to somehow make up the difference? How would that work?
Yeah, it would be something that we would have to look at in making up that difference.
So the state would make up the difference, not just pass along cuts?
Well, that would be part of the conversation of how do we address that, really.
Okay. Now, do you I don't know, confer or communicate with, like, Glenn Thompson or John Fetterman or Dave McCormick? Or do you, like, talk about these various things?
We do, to a certain extent. I have a good working relationship with our individuals within D.C.
All right. Now, SNAP, which I still call food stamps, all right, the SNAP program for folks that need extra help with food and so on. Allegedly, there's supposed to be cuts to that. Now, I guess Harrisburg gets involved with that as well, the SNAP program?
Yeah, to the same extent with the overall broad discussion on Medicaid.
So if they cut, again, the idea is Harrisburg supposed to make up the difference somehow?
And it depends who you talk to within Harrisburg, I guess. But obviously, where does that ultimately land? But yes, if there's a massive deficit that's going to be passed on from Washington, that's going to have to be dealt with. We're the next line in that discussion.
All right. Now, you had an earlier comment about big money to SEPTA. And I could tell by the look on your face you're not a big fan. Okay, SEPTA, if you're not familiar, is the kind of mass transit for the greater Philadelphia area, Philadelphia and the suburban counties and so on, trains, buses, all that sort of thing. And I read some story that hey, if those folks out in the rest of Pennsylvania would just pay more money, SEPTA would be great. I mean, is that what you're thinking, this idea? And Shapiro, I guess, is big on this. An increase for SEPTA, the money's going to come from us and go to them. Is that, or am I being simplistic there?
My issue with it is that there are a host of transit agencies throughout the Commonwealth that are dealing with the same issue. And there's no shortage of people that knock on my door in Harrisburg that... it's always the same. They need more money, and we understand that. But there also needs to be some accountability with respect to the delivery model that you have, and particularly with SEPTA. And back when I was chair of the Transportation Committee, that was obviously something that we dealt with. That was the last budget cycle that there was this call for this mass increase in mass transit. And we had held several hearings to address that. And our position in the Republican caucus was, we're not just going to fund mass transit without also taking a look at roads and bridges and critical infrastructure within the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And that was our goal and our hope, to get a broad transportation package done to address all of that. Unfortunately, we were unable to meet with consensus on that issue. We reached a kind of a stopgap provision last budget cycle where we allocated, I think it was 81 million for both, 80 million for mass transit, 80 million for roads and bridges, and then with the goal of trying to address that overall. And then within, I don't know how many months from that, the governor pulled another 200 and some million to give to SEPTA, and he took it out of his discretion that he has within some of the projects. Problem was, he took it from roads and bridges projects in western part of the state or central part of the state, and then gave it to SEPTA. So my speaking to SEPTA at those hearings was, reexamine your delivery model. Look, we know that your ridership is down. We know that as a result, it was down during COVID, and then it was down after COVID. And part of that is due to the fact that there are a lot of people that aren't riding transit to go to work. A lot of people are working remotely. You see that anytime you look at a job employment posting, hybrid, remote work. Yeah. So that was a loss. Another component of that was safety. And I've taken steps and actually had a bill signed into law to appoint a special prosecutor to address that safety component on SEPTA. So those kind of things that came together, and then an unwillingness, because they told us that they were looking at that, looking at other models and how to change routes, et cetera, to kind of save money on that end, but yet they've failed to implement that. And then conversely, you have other transit agencies here in State College, you have them in the western part of the state that are doing that. They're reexamining their delivery models, going from these fixed bus rates to micro transit or vans to address that issue. So I don't understand why SEPTA just expects a government bailout year after year that we're just going to say, oh, we need this money, and you're just going to be give it to us. So until there's some kind of a movement there to reexamine what their delivery model is, I will not be optimistic on that front. And that's a big, big cost driver.
All right. You mentioned the state budget earlier. Fun times. You actually going to hit July 1st or June 30th?
As I said, I'm an optimistic person, so that's the goal.
He's smiling when he says that. Okay. When's the last time, I honestly don't know, when's the last time that the June 30 deadline got met for the budget?
Well, that's a good question. It's been some time, for sure.
Okay, long time. All right.
Which, by the way, is state law that be met. Just in case anybody's interested.
So does that mean you're going to jail if you don't do it by July 1st, Senator? Or? No, okay, let's move on. A lot more money than in the past, or at least the governor wants this, that, and the other thing, some things that we've talked about. I mean, what are the key items in this year's budget where there's been a lot of infighting or arguing and so on?
That's one of them, is mass transit. Another one is education funding. You know, that's a constant conversation, that there's not enough money that's given to schools and to education. But my opinion on this is that we spend money and have gotten far afield from core governmental services. We pay our taxes, and I've said this a million times before. When you pay your taxes, you want core government services. You want good roads to drive on. You want police protection. You want fire protection. You want a good school to send your kids to. You want EMS, firefighting. And it's gotten so far afield from that. And I have real concern when I meet with, specifically on the EMS front, EMS firefighting front, these EMS ambulance associations closing down. And people are just expecting that they're going to pick up a call and somebody's going to be there. And it is getting past the point of no return here with this loss in vital services. That's what we need to be spending our money on. That's what the people depend on, and that's what taxpayer dollars should be used for. So that's a part of the conversation that we're having and what needs to be addressed, in my opinion.
So what are we spending money on that's far afield?
Well, there's two. So when I speak to schools, I always ask them, I say, you know, how much money do you think that the state of Pennsylvania spends? You know, and depending on the age that you get with the different children, some people are like 100, 150, 50,000, blah, 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 or, you know, $2 billion. And I always ask, okay, $2 billion? Like, yeah, $2 billion. So I'm like, who thinks it's more than $2 billion? And very few raise their hand. And when they'll be surprised that it was last year was $45 billion. And I say, you could go back in time to January the 1st of 1900 and spend $1 million every day from that day to today, and it still wouldn't amount to that. And that kind of puts it in perspective for that. But of that $45 billion, almost half of it is education. The other half is human services. So those are the two big cost drivers within the budget. Now, I understand there are 500 school districts here in Pennsylvania, and that is a core service that we need to spend on. But also, I think we need to look at, we are not increasing population in that front, and that definitely needs to be addressed.
Yeah, there's just so many... So many different components. Let me just ask you, though, is the uncertainty right now in Washington adding to the difficulty in figuring out the state budget? Because I think there are some things where, at least previously, it's like, all right, well, we know this amount is coming in. And maybe it still is, but maybe it isn't. Until you get... more certainty in the direction on some of these items, is that adding to the difficulty of coming up with the state budget, or do you pretty well know in terms of the relationship between federal funding, state funding, that it's just a separate issue?
I would say it's somewhat, not entirely a tremendous amount. That's the some of the concerns that I have with that, and understanding that we need to be fiscal stewards of the tax dollar, period. Like, that's the biggest job that I have, that the constituents of the 35th District send me to Harrisburg to make sure that those are spent adequately. Concern that I have is some of the federal dollars that are potentially in play here to being lost. And I'll cite one example, specific example, and I'm not saying that this is on the cutting block or on the chopping block, but within like the Johnstown area, there were so many mine discharge of that acid mine water into the stream, so much so that when I was a kid driving downtown Johnstown, it's bright orange rivers. If you would have told me someday that I would catch fish in that river, I'd say you're crazy. But they're, you know, that those dollars, that's a big component to clean up those streams, which then leads to more economic activity, more recreational opportunities for, you know, residents of that county. And that's statewide. So those are things that I understand that you need to cut where you can cut, but you can't just blanketly cut across the board and then leave vital services, you know, in the lurch here.
What about raising more revenue? God forbid, without taxes. Is there some discussion? Hey, let's find... And marijuana. Okay, here we go. Raising more revenue. What are there ideas floating around down there?
There are. There are two. Then you hit one of them there. That's a proposal of the governor to raise money through the legal sale of adult-use cannabis. I'm very hesitant and opposed to that. I don't think that is the panacea that you think that it is, because on the back end, I think you're just shifting one pocket to another, and you're going to have a much more higher cost of increased services in dealing with that. So that's not something that I support. The other big, I guess, low-hanging fruit that you would call would be the regulation of the skill games. That has been a proliferation. You see those. I'm sure listeners can think of different things that have popped up over the years just in the middle of nowhere. And that's something that we need to examine, and that could be a tremendous source of revenue. And I say that too with the caveat that we need to understand that there are a couple of different types of those skill games. So there's the ones that are in your American Legions, your VFWs, your small bars and taverns that have kept them afloat during COVID and are a vital piece of that. So that is something that is much needed with the revenue. Now, there's a big difference in my eyes between going into a VFW where that money stays local and is there versus you see a skill game parlor, which is almost like a mini casino at a strip mall, where it's an outside state-owned business venture where they come in, take that money, and it goes right out of the state. So that's the balancing act that we have that we're faced with, and I'm hopeful that something that can be addressed, and there's potential for significant revenue in that front, but it's got to be done the right way, because we need to make sure that we're taking care of our American Legions or VFWs or local bars and taverns versus just, I think there's one on 22. If I drive to Pittsburgh, it's just like an old garage, and it's a skill game. I mean, who owns that? I mean, that's not local money. That's just going out. So that needs to be something that needs to be regulated on the tax end, as well as who's checking to see if these kids are even of age to be playing those facilities.
All right. I've got one more question. Now, this is slightly selfish. All right. I'm looking at a story here from the Penn Capital Star, which is a statewide media outlet. Lawmakers hear testimony on meeting Pennsylvania power demand. Now, we had a situation a few weeks ago with our continuing adventures in radio where we had no power here for 3 days. Because some crazy storm hit over there on West College Avenue and knocked all the poles and lines and stuff down. And we were grounded for 3 days. And I know there's an increasing power demand across the state, not just in certain places. I mean, has this come up in any discussions you've done about what to do about power and energy, make it better and make it bigger, that we need more of it? What's being talked about?
All the time. All the time. And this is something that the governor could rectify rather simply. And this goes back to REGI, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, and his insistence on putting Pennsylvania into that, which has stymied development in the Commonwealth. We sit on a massive store of natural gas, and we have pretty much hampered that development. There are some, there is some movement here in different areas, but with the war on coal and then this reluctance to not put us in REGI, I mean, that has, we've seen it. There has been lost development opportunities that could lead to energy, to power, and it's only going to get worse when you see different companies that are coming into our Commonwealth actually that are talking about proposed data centers. I think there's one in Harrisburg that are going to use Three Mile Island. I think it's Microsoft, and they're going to use that. But the power that they generate through that reactor is just going to go to Microsoft. I don't know how much of that's going to go back on the grid, but, I mean, we're fortunate now that we're going in, we're in spring, summer here, that we don't have the issues with, you know, with heat or those rolls. But actually, it's probably going to, you know, with the rise in air conditioning, it's not going to get any better. But it always perplexed me, the reluctance to capitalize on the tremendous natural resources that we have here in the Commonwealth, specifically with natural gas. And it doesn't have to happen.
If I recall, real quick, that story, they're going to restart TMI. All the power, all of it, is going to go to this Microsoft data center, which, if I recall, is out of state. I don't even think it's in Pennsylvania. So that just seemed a little strange.
A lot of strange things happen in Harrisburg, for sure. That is the biggest gripe that I have with this current administration, is their unwillingness to embrace the energy resources we have. We could be a leader within the nation on that front, and there's no reason why we should have, we could drive down the cost of energy, and it's here, it's abundant, and there are ways to take advantage of that.
Well, Senator, we appreciate your time this morning. As always, thank you very much. We'll let you take 20 steps to go back to your local office right over here in the same building. And hopefully we can have you on again. Thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you for the time.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll have just a short segment to kind of wrap up here for a beautiful Wednesday morning.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we'll come back after this.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise is Friday, June 13th and Saturday, June 14th in downtown Belfont, Central Pennsylvania's largest car show. Get all the details on the fun, food, activities, and live entertainment. Visit BelfontCruise.org or call 814-280-5881. Sponsors include Geisinger, Central Pennsylvania Institute of Science and Technology, East End Sales, Wise Market, Belfont Elks Lodge 1094, and Jerry Snyder's Concessions.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Fox Sports.
talk, one final segment on this midweek program. Again, a couple of just quick programming notes. Pirates baseball rolls your way at 12:10 this afternoon. Scheduled 12:35 start. We'll see what the weather does. But we will have Jim Galani's Keystone Kickoff Show airing whatever part of it we can from 3 to 4 after the Pirates game. We will run that program in its entirety then from 6 to 7. And again, Behind the Wall with Landon Tangwall, an interview with Guy Gadowski, will then roll your way from 7 to 7:30 this evening here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And a reminder that on Saturday we will have the Penn State men's lacrosse NCAA semifinal game against Cornell, and that will air right at 12 noon. So immediately after Jed Donahue's program wraps up at noon, we'll join Westwood One and we'll have that game in its entirety. And then, I mean, we know Penn State will be in the national title game, but regardless if some crazy fluke happens, and they're not, we'll still have the NCAA championship game for you as well. That'll be on Memorial Day on Monday at 1 o'clock. 12:45 will be the airtime for our coverage of that one. And we've got lots of PIW AA baseball and softball rolling your way in the coming weeks here, and once they get their schedule set, we'll get our schedule set and pass that along. Probably start being able to tell you some of the games that we will be covering tomorrow. So that gets you caught up on what's happening with the sports coverage here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
I'm reminded of an old, I guess, a jingle, an old radio jingle.
Oh.
That essentially this guy comes on with kind of a gritty voice, and he would say, "Tune in 98.7 FM and rip the knob off."
Yeah, do it.
I wish we still had that somewhere. Rip the knob off. We have so much good stuff. And streaming works great. Hey, come on. Streaming works great.
Yeah, just an FYI, if you did miss us the last couple of days, you can stream the program, 987thefox.info, and we have the programs posted there. So if you're, you know, really, really dying to see what you missed these last couple of days, you can,
bingo,
in fact, get caught up.
Now, we just had our chat with Senator Langerholt. We will put that on our website on the Let's Talk page, Let's Talk Interviews page, probably before 11. All right? So if you want to listen either to the whole show, we know you want to do that, or if you just want to listen to the interview, that's cool. We've got that whole page. Elections, obviously a lot of election coverage from last night and today. We have what we call the news outlets page, where we have a whole bunch of local and regional news outlets. Use that as a starting point. Click on the link, jumps right to that outlet. You can find out whatever they wrote about the election and so on. Our error schedule is on there. All the things that the Iron Head just mentioned, we have a separate page just for our error schedule. I want to see if I can try to catch that thing with Landon, because I saw a blurb on social media, was it last night, I guess, where he's talking to Guy Gadowski. So that's pretty cool stuff. All right, so, and anyway, NBA, I mentioned earlier, very quickly, all right? NBA bores me. Okay. Over the past week, there have been a pair of mock drafts, the NBA draft.
Yeah.
All right? Mock drafts. In other words, experts trying to determine, well, this team's going to pick this guy. Okay, Cooper Flagg is going first. I got that one. All right, bing, 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 bing. I think I got that one.
Yeah.
To Dallas or something. Bing, got that one. For Penn State, we've got Yannick Konen-Niederheiser, who decided, okay, he was only here for a year. Okay, I'm going to try the draft. Now, let me see if I have this right. If he is not drafted, he can come back here and play one more season for Penn State.
That is correct.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
If he is not drafted, all right? So I thought, okay, now the NBA draft is only two rounds, all right? It's not like NFL or whatever. And these two experts, both have Niederhauser going in the second round.
Yep.
One guy says Golden State. All right, so that would be Steph Curry. All right. The other expert said Brooklyn Nets would pick Niederhauser. All right. So I would assume if he gets chosen, he's gone. Right?
Yes.
If he gets chosen, he's done. That's a shame. I liked him, and I wish he could, you know, come back for one more year. Now, could the draft, you know, this is next month. Could it happen differently? Sure. We'll see. But I just found it interesting. He was selected both times, these experts. All right, friends. Hey, stay dry on a soggy Wednesday. We will come back and talk to you again tomorrow.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Belfont, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.